Congratulations, and welcome to one of the most important and impactful Wealth Coaches Academy courses we have to offer, called Small Business Ownership. You've just begun the crucial step of investigating and conducting due diligence on whether or not starting your own business, either a home-based business or a traditional outside-the-home bricks-and-mortar business, is right for you. You were at the fork in the road I was at in 1991 when I graduated from the University of Calgary with my second of two degrees. The first degree was a Bachelor of Arts in Economics with a double major in micro and macroeconomics. And the second was a Bachelor of Commerce with a doubled major in Finance and Management Science. Upon graduation from my business degree, I was interviewed by a couple companies in the financial services industry, Primerica, formerly A.L. Williams, which I was not overly impressed with because of a younger and relatively weak interviewer, and Investors Group, one of the leading mutual fund financial planning firms in Canada back in 1992. I ultimately settled on IG as an independent representative of the firm to offer financial planning services, mutual funds, insurance, mortgages, and group benefit plans to individuals and businesses. Under their compensation model, I was not considered to be an employee of IG, but rather a consultant who would be paid a commission based on the volume of business I brought to the company every month. Although I had worked several other traditional regular jobs that paid by the hour or by the month, this was my introduction to a performance-based compensation plan based on straight commission. That is, I could make as little or as much as I wanted to, and it would be entirely dependent on my efforts. As I got to know the more seasoned veterans in the office, I quickly learned that salespeople are generally the highest paid professions in the business world, oftentimes making more than their managers, presidents, and even the CEO. Unlike gifted sports stars and movie celebrities, however, sales is a skill that everyone can learn and which doesn't rely on genetics or family privilege to get involved and to succeed. Success Pyramid. One of the key financial planning tools we had in our presentation binder at IG was a chart similar to the one below. It was a statistical probability chart that showed the likelihood of an 18-year-old individual achieving certain levels of financial success or failure by the age of 65. The numbers were based on long-term studies of tax records, occupations, and mortality tables. What was shocking to me at the time was the relatively low number of people who could retire with financial freedom after working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and 240 odd days per year for 47 years of hard work spent on building someone else's dream. After at least 11,280 days or 90,240 hours of work and roughly $1.4 million in lifetime earnings for the average person, at $30,000 a year back in 1981, I wondered how could it be that only 4% of the population, that's what it was back then, was able to retire in comfort and that most people end up financially broke or dependent on someone else in their golden years. My manager explained it to me in these 10 simple words, which have stuck with me ever since. If you fail to plan, you are planning on failing. As it turns out, people spend more time each year planning their family vacation than they do planning their family finances, and that's why the pyramid of success looks the way it does. So looking at the chart, starting at age 18, out of 100 people, by age 65, the expectation statistically is that only 5% will be financially secure and able to meet all of their needs in retirement. 5% of the population will still be working, either because they enjoy working or more likely because they can't yet afford to retire. 12% will be broke. 24% will be dead. They'll simply won't make it to age 65. And the other 54%, over half the population that starts at age 18 and works all their life till age 65, will be financially dependent on either a pension or the government in retirement. When I asked my manager what type of people make up the 5% at the top, the answer was quite surprising. I had assumed that it might be CEOs, musicians, rock stars, athletes, celebrities, Wall Street execs, and those with large pools of inherited money. Although those groups are definitely in the financial freedom category, as it turns out, 80% of the top group, or 4% of the total who start their climb at age 18, are business owners. Wow, what a revelation! The very business owners who hire and pay you from the revenue you help them to generate turn out to be the majority of those who retire with financial freedom, free of worries about money. At some point along the way, I heard the phrase, and you probably have too, that if you help enough other people get what they want, then you will get what you want. Business owners do this on two fronts. First, they help customers find products or services that they need and want, and then help them fill that need. Second, business owners create 70% of all the jobs in existence and thus help employees get what they want, a paycheck, in exchange for the labor that generates revenue for the owner to give him what he wants, financial freedom. It is a great trade-off and is at the core of the free enterprise system. Here's a little factoid for you. Labor costs are typically 30 to 40% of the gross revenue of a business. If the employer pays you $60,000 a year in salary, then you must be contributing $150,000 towards the bottom line. Wouldn't you rather monetize your labor in a way that allows you to keep 100% of your effort? Business owners, I have learned, also get numerous opportunities to write off expenses that were categorized for employees as after-tax personal items, but for business owners are treated as pre-tax legitimate business deductions under the tax code, and then they invest the tax savings for long-term growth. Imagine if you could earn thousands of extra dollars in tax refunds each year to reinvest in other ways. Would you be more likely to move up the success pyramid? So given the dominant 95% failure rate for most people who go to school to earn a degree that will get them a safe, secure job so they can work the 40-40 plan, 40 hours a week for 40 years, just to help build someone else's dream, does it really make sense to get a college degree and take out a massive student loan only to increase your odds of failing financially by age 65 after 47 years of post-graduation employment? It's not that I'm advocating not getting an education, but rather I'm pointing out that the education system is not designed to teach people the basics about financial money management, entrepreneurship, or how to build a business. Thus, the need for this wealth academy. While it is true that 90% of businesses will likely fail in the first decade, that is still a 10 times better success rate than the 1% of employees who make it to the top of the pyramid. So here is my question for you. If you knew these financial success odds before signing up for college and incurring tens of thousands of dollars in student loans, would you still take that route, or would you be more likely to try to start a business where you have 10 times better odds and a 5.6 times greater net worth potential than employees? If you've already done the traditional route and have just learned these odds for the first time, does it not make at least a little bit of logical sense to find out how you can become a business owner now rather than being stuck as an employee in a just over broke job for the next half century? If you said yes, then let's continue with the course lectures and learn what they didn't teach you in school. If you said no, then I suggest you request a tuition refund and purchase another course instead that is geared more towards the employee-investor mindset, where we can help you to better manage what you do keep in after-tax dollars.